Good Shepherd. I want you to find one verse in the Bible. I'm going to take you through a few verses in your Bible. So if you want to pick up your green Bible, you can follow me if you really want to. Make sure that what I'm saying is true. Acts of the Apostles 17 verse 1. It's page 171 in the New Testament section of your Bible. Page 171. Paul is preaching at Berea, which is in the sort of Greek area. And he says in verse 11, the people were more open-minded than the people in Thessalonica. They listened to the message with great eagerness, and every day they studied the scriptures to see if what Paul said was really true. You know, that's the verse I want us to just highlight this morning to begin with, anyway, in the sense that when things are said from a pulpit, you should always check them out with the Bible, because the Bible is our yardstick. It's our rule of truth and a rule of thumb. And therefore, when somebody preaches something, we should say, is it in the Bible? He says the Bereans, they listened to St. Paul, and then they checked it with all the Old Testament scriptures to say, is it true what Paul is saying? And I believe that we should do that in our church here on a regular basis. That's why we give the references to our Bible readings, why we read the Word of God, and why our sermons are based from the Word of God. Now, talking about the Good Shepherd, Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. I want to break that down a little bit and think of the first two words there where Jesus said, I am. I am. Do you know why he used that phrase, I am, so often in the Bible? He said, I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And yet he used that phrase, I am. Not I was or I will be, I am. You know, the term I am really was first brought to our notice in the book of Exodus when Moses was before the burning bush. And he said to the Father, he realized that God was speaking to him out of the bush, and he says, what's your name? And God said to him, I am. You know something? If you're the only one, you don't need a name, do you? You'll need a name to distinguish you from others. Like if you've got six brothers, you know, you have names to distinguish yourself. But God has no other. He is God. And so when Moses says, what's your name? He just says, I am. Not I was, or I will be. I am eternally present, eternal. I am. The great I am. And Jesus, when he actually was speaking about who he was, he used the term, I am. And that was a title, really, that really was only used by God the Father. Only used by God in the Old Testament. Recognized as God's name or God's title, if you like. The great I am. And Jesus came on the scene and repeatedly said, I am. I am. I am. I am. And in that way, claiming himself to be part of the Godhead. To be co-equal with God. In fact, I want you to turn to page 51 in the New Testament as well. Page 51 is John chapter 18 and verse 5 and 8. Page 51. You check it, see what I'm saying is right. This is a fantastic verse, this one is. John chapter 18. Sorry? No, it's John chapter 18. I've got the wrong number, haven't I? John chapter 18. I've got the wrong verse number in your verse, in your Bible. John, I'll tell you where it is in a moment. John 18 verse, yes it is, 141. Page 141. Where I got page 51 from, I don't know, but there we are. John chapter 18. Jesus has been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in verse 4 it says, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth, they said. I am He, Jesus said. He just says, I am he. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. And Jesus said, when Jesus said to them, I am he, he says they moved back and they all fell to the ground. Isn't that incredible? That everybody in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus stood up to his full divinity and just says, I am he, they all fell down on their faces. Just recognizing, in a sense, his Godhead. Recognizing his authority, his power, the awesomeness of who he was claiming to be. They all fell down before him. Jesus said in verse 8 as well, I have already told you that I am he. I am he. Then Jesus went on and he says later, or earlier in the Gospels, he actually says, I am the good shepherd. Once again, that's claiming the title of God. I am the good shepherd. Now, I want you to turn to page 837. I hope I've got this one right. 837. It's in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, page 837. Have you got there? Chapter 34 of Ezekiel. And I want to look at verse 11. Under the title of what? The Good Shepherd, right? The Good Shepherd, capital G, capital S. I, the Sovereign Lord, tell you that I myself will look for my sheep and take care of them. In the same way that shepherds, and he goes on looking about it. But just that verse I've read together, verse 11 there. I, the Sovereign Lord, make no mistake about it, it's God speaking, isn't it? I, the Sovereign Lord, and Lord is all capitals, isn't it? L-O-R-D, capital letters. I, the Sovereign Lord, tell you that I myself will look for my sheep and take care of them. And he goes on talking about how we'll bring the lost back and how we'll be the shepherd and how we will look after them. And there's also other verses similarly in the Old Testament. Psalm 80 also refers to God as being the great shepherd of Israel. And the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, David says. So quite obviously in the Old Testament, God the Father was looked upon as the good shepherd. It was a title of God the Father. It was a title of God the good shepherd. I will look after my sheep, he said. Jesus, in the New Testament, comes on the scene. And he says, I am, claiming the title of God. And then he says, I am the good shepherd. Another title of God. So right through the statement of, I am the good shepherd, Jesus was really kind of saying, I am God. I'm God. I am the Lord. I am the good shepherd that Ezekiel spoke of. I am none other than God himself. Now, if you turn to Mark chapter 10 and verse 18, it's page 60 in the New Testament section of your book. Page 60 in the New Testament section of your book. We've got the story here of the rich young ruler. And the rich man comes to Jesus. And in verse 17, he says, Jesus was starting on his way again. A man ran up, knelt before him and said, good teacher, using the word good, capital G, good teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Because no one's good except God. No one's good except God. God alone is good, Jesus is saying. And he said to the rich young ruler, why do you call me good? In other words, have you worked out that I'm God? Do you really mean that? Or are you just flattering? Do you recognize who I am? Only one is good, that is God. And therefore, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, if only God is good, Jesus was really saying, I am the God shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the Lord, none other than God himself. I know there are many groups today who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of Jehovah's Witnesses, Unitarians, and other groups who deny that Jesus Christ is God. And it's one of the marks of a cult, you know, that people deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deny that he is co-equal with the Father. And these scriptures that we've just looked at is just one of many that show that evidence that Jesus Christ is indeed God. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He was underlining his divinity in no uncertain terms. You know, Hebrews 13:20 says, "Our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." The early church recognized Jesus as that great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13:20. And 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd appears," speaking of Jesus, talking of the second coming of Jesus, "and when the chief shepherd appears." Absolutely wonderful. And then to the chapter that we read earlier, he says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we know that that's exactly what our Lord does. Because the Lord is our shepherd. He's our God shepherd. The Bible says, that Jesus says in our reading, he says, "I am the door of the sheep." And if you could picture sort of a square, or a round for that matter, a paddock where sheep are kept in an enclosure, a sort of a fold, and the door is just a gap. And the sheep are driven into this pen, this round or circle or square, whatever shape it is, into this area. And the sheep are brought into that area, and then there's a gate. And Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the door." And if you picture the door, say supposing this was the pen here, and then you've got the one door here, the one entrance into the sheepfold. Jesus says, "I lay down my life for the sheep. I am the door," and Jesus would put himself across the doorway. In the same way that a shepherd, when he's looking after his sheep, if you got them in a pen, the shepherd would actually sleep across the doorway. So the sheep wouldn't escape, so that nothing could get in and to actually harm them. He'd guard them with his life. And the only way in was really over him or through him. And Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheepfold." Anybody who wants to be part of into the sheepfold of Jesus, into the sheepfold of God, has to come through him. Now Jesus was speaking to the Jews. And he's talking about, "I am the good shepherd. There's many come before me who are thieves and robbers who'll tell you all sorts of things, but I am the actual good shepherd. I am the only door, the only way in." Somebody might try to climb over the wall and get in some other way, but Jesus says, "The only way really in is through me." And then he said to the Jews, he says, "I've got other sheep who are not of this fold, and I must go and collect them." He's speaking there of the Gentiles. He says, and eventually the Jews and Gentiles will be one flock under one shepherd. "I've got other sheep who are not of this fold, not of the Israeli fold, but I've got to go and I've got to gather them." And thank God that he did come and send the Holy Spirit and the early church to go out and spread the word to gather us. And so he says that if he loses one of his sheep, we know that in the parable of the lost sheep, he says he goes and find it and leave the other 99 in the pen and he'll go seeking the one that was lost. He says, when he finds it, he brings it back. And the Bible actually says he doesn't stick it in the pen with the others. He says he takes it back to his house. I mean, that's something, isn't it? The last thing you do with a smelly, dirty sheep that's been in the mud and everything is take it back and stick it on your front carpet. But that's exactly what the Lord says he does with us. He takes us right in the very presence of God into the middle of heaven, even though we don't deserve it at all, and we'll never, ever be there on our own merits or good deeds. Only through his grace, his love, his sacrifice, and he takes us right to the very presence of God, right into the very house of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad he sought me and found me. Are you glad he found you? That he went out and he sought you? And then he says, in 23rd Psalm, he says, he leads me. Isn't it good to know the leading of God in 2015? Do you know that God's going to be leading you to situations, leading you in your businesses, in your homes, in your family life, leading you in the decisions that you make, your choices? Isn't that wonderful to know that God leads us? He provides for us. He lays a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He leads us beside still waters. I'm told that sheep are not very happy with fast flowing water that might disturb them or frighten them a little bit. And they like something that's calm and gentle. The Lord knows that. And he says, he leads us by still waters. He anoints us with oil. That's to protect us from the heat, from the insects, from the different things that goes on that a sheep would be protected from. And the Lord's our protector too. And we can look to him to protect us. He says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I shan't be in need. The Bible says in Hebrews that God's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And the Jews were sort of blessed physically, weren't they? And God promised to bless them materially. And isn't that amazing that even today when you hear of anti-Semitism, saying that and one of the accusations that's thrown against the Jews in anti-Semitism is they're always after money. That's often been said, and people have been lambasted for actually saying that, haven't they? But in one sense, that is a proof of the blessing of God, isn't it? Because hasn't God said that he's going to bless them? And their blessing is so often on the material side. And so why are people jealous of the blessing of God, you know, upon them? And yet God has blessed us spiritually. All spiritual blessing. Sometimes Christians come to God and we act as if all God wants to do is just bless us on this earth and give us material goods, as if it's all about brick and mortar and finance and this world's goods and long life and so on. It's not. It's really about eternal life. It's really about eternity, living for eternity. I heard somebody on television the other day and he said something interesting. He says, don't just expect God to help you to fulfill the American dream. And I thought that was quite good. Don't just expect God has come into your life to help you to fulfill the American dream, you know, to just prosper and have a good time. It's far, far more than that. Far, far more precious. Laying up treasure in heaven. Living with spiritual realities. Having said that, God says that if we seek him, he says all these things will be added unto us. We don't seek the material things. They're just added to us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't be in need. I'll always have the provision of God in my life, knowing that the Lord will always provide for us in whatever way. And sometimes God does things in unusual ways, doesn't he? How God provides for us. Sometimes he sort of hangs us over the edge when we think we really needed this yesterday, and yet God gives us it somewhere down the line. God meets our need in unusual ways sometimes. Not always through our working, but sometimes through gifts that people give. Sometimes through kindness. Sometimes through unexpected ways that God has got a way of actually providing for us. I shall not want. You know, when we were in the Lake District, when we lived up there, we went to a place called Caldbeck. Lovely little village where, remember that old song, Dear Ken John Peel? Any of you know that one? Dear Ken John Peel with his coat so grey? No? No? And he was a famous hunter. He actually lived in the Caldbeck area. And if you go there, you can see his grave. I've seen his grave there. And we used to pop in and have a look. He's still there. He hasn't moved. And we pop into the graveyard and have a look at him and at his grave. But while we were in that area, we were going up and down the hills. And it's a beautiful little village, a river, a little stream running through it, and some beautiful little cottages. Lovely, lovely place. Nice church to look around and so on. Watermill and cafe and all the rest of it. And as we're going down the hill into Caldbeck, we noticed that by the side of the road, because it's a steep hill and because of the weather out there in the mountains, in the hills, in the Lake District, they have these big yellow containers full of grit. As we were driving down one day, we saw this sheep, and at least one of them anyway, and they were actually stood, the lid had come off the grit thing, and they were actually stood on the grit, in the container, just nuzzling the ground and licking the ground. They're actually finding salt, because that's where it was, salt for the getting rid of the ice. And they're actually getting salt from the grit. And I'm thinking, that's amazing, isn't it? Now they always find a way of being provided for, don't they? And the Lord does that for us, you know. Sometimes God provides for us in unusual ways, but God is our provider. He leads me by green pastures. He restores. He anoints. He's our shepherd. So I hope this morning that you can say, Lord, you're my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Not just something we read about. Not just something that David could say. But something you and I can say. Lord, you're my shepherd. I want to hear your voice. I recognize your voice. Lord, I know you know me by name. I know you lead me step by step. And this year, Shepherd of Israel, my shepherd, I'm going to look to you to lead me. And Lord, help me to hear your voice clearly that I might follow you every step of the way this year. Shall we pray? Father, we just thank you because we're so thrilled that, Lord, beyond any shadow of a doubt and without compromise, you said, I am the good shepherd. Lord, you raise yourself to your full divinity without fear, Lord, of what people would think or would say. He declared to all who would hear, and even today you do, to all who will understand and read, that you are the good shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you're our shepherd today. Thank you, Lord, that you're seeking the lambs today who have gone astray. Help us, Lord, to help point them out to you and pray about them and lead you to them and speak to them on your behalf. Lord, this year, help us to follow you, Lord, to those green pastures. Help us, Lord, this year to know your anointing upon our heads. Help us to know you're providing food for us in face of our enemies. Help us to know the restoration of our souls. Help us to recognize, Lord, that we will not have any need, any want, because you're our shepherd. And Lord, we give you praise, not our jobs, not the National Health Service, not anything else or the government, but Lord, we give you the praise for the provision that provided to us. Lord, we honor you as our shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you're the door of the sheep, and that, Lord, nothing can get through to us except over your body. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're alive and you're our shepherd. You're our good shepherd. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.